理课堂听 class.com。
Come now, my dears, Uncle Monty said. We've wasted enough of the morning on talk. We have to... Ow!
He interrupted himself with a cry of surprise and pain and fell to the ground.
Uncle Monty! Klaus cried.
The Baudelaire children saw that a large, shiny object was on top of him and realized a moment later what the object was. It was the heavy brass reading lamp, the one standing next to the large cushioned chair in Klaus's room.
Ow! Uncle Monty said again, pulling the lamp off him. That really hurt. My shoulder may be sprained. It's a good thing it didn't land on my head, or it really could have done some damage.
But where did it come from? Violet asked.
It must have fallen from the window, Uncle Monty said,
pointing up to where Klaus's room was.
Whose room is that? Klaus, I believe it is yours. You must be more careful. You can't dangle heavy objects out the window like that. Look what almost happened.
But that lamp wasn't anywhere near my window, Klaus said. I keep it in the alcove, so I can read in that large chair.
Really, Klaus, Uncle Monty said,
standing up and handing him the lamp.
Do you honestly expect me to believe that the lamp danced over to the window and leaped onto my shoulder? Please put this back in your room, in a safe place, and we'll say no more about it.
But, Klaus said, but his older sister interrupted him. I'll help you, Klaus, Violet said. We'll find a place for it where it's safe.
Well, don't be too long, Uncle Monty said, rubbing his shoulder. We'll see you in the reptile room. Come, sonny.
Walking through the entry hall, the four parted ways at the stairs, with Uncle Monty and Sonny going to the enormous door of the reptile room, and Violet and Klaus carrying the heavy brass lamp up to Klaus's room.
You know very well,
Klaus hissed to his sister,
that I was not careless with this lamp. Of course I know that,
Violet whispered.
But there's no use trying to explain that to Uncle Monty. He thinks Stefano is a herpetological spy. You know as well as I do that Stefano was responsible for this. How clever of you to figure that out,
said a voice at the top of the stairs, and Violet and Klaus were so surprised they almost dropped the lamp. It was Stefano, or if you prefer, it was Count Olaf. It was the bad guy.
But then you've always been clever children,
he continued.
A little too clever for my taste, but you won't be around for long, so I'm not troubled by it.
You're not very clever yourself, Klaus said fiercely.
This heavy brass lamp almost hit us, but if anything happens to my sisters or me, you'll never get your hands on the Baudelaire fortune. Dear me,
Stefano said, his grimy teeth showing as he smiled.
If I wanted to harm you, orphan, your blood would already be pouring down these stairs like a waterfall. No, I'm not going to harm a hair on any Baudelaire head. Not here in this house. You needn't be afraid of me, little ones, until we find ourselves in a location where crimes are more difficult to trace.
And where would that be? Violet asked. We plan to stay right here until we grow up.
Really?
Stefano said, in that sneaky, sneaky voice.
Why? I had the impression we were leaving the country tomorrow.
Uncle Monty tore up your ticket, Klaus replied triumphantly. He was suspicious of you, so he changed his plans, and now you're not going with us. Stefano's smile turned into a scowl, and his stained teeth seemed to grow bigger. His eyes grew so shiny that it hurt Violet and Klaus to look at them.
I wouldn't rely on that.